the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Thursday, June 8th, 2023. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker. Usually, Jay Book joins us on Fridays. We move some things around. Mark Porter and Bill Kerlick are usually on the show Thursdays, but they're at the first of Ohio State's many recruiting camps. One-day recruiting camp. That kicks off today. It's the first, I believe, of 5 one-day camps, and they also have a 7-on-7 camp, team camp. Some of the names there, Jay Book, Dorian Brew, the number one player in Ohio in the 2025 class. Chris Henry Jr., the wide receiver, the number one player in the 2026 class. And there's some other big names, too. Who are you kind of keeping a close eye on there, JB?
Yeah, definitely keeping an eye on Tucker Caddis out of St. X, potential to be one of the top offensive linemen in the state of Ohio come 2025 class. So he'll be camping up there. I'll be curious to see if he gets an early offer, but he's someone to keep an eye on. He has the potential to be a 247 top offensive lineman in their rankings coming up. But, yeah, Chris Henry Jr., you look at him, Dave, what, he's an eighth grader? When he got his offer from Ohio State, showed up to camp and was absolutely balling out of control. So seeing where he's at right now and if his game is developed, how much bigger he's gotten, that's going to be fascinating. So, yeah, it's going to be great. Last year, Dave, you had some Ohioans that, really took advantage of the camp. You look at Jermaine Matthews. He came out of there with a camp, ended up being a Buckeye. With Ohio State focusing a lot of their attention on getting offers out to in-state kids a lot earlier because the game has changed, I think this evaluation period is very critical for the Ohio State staff to get in there, get some eyes at some of these guys that are maybe fringe Buckeye players that they really like but don't know if they're going to be able to play at this level. If they're able to pop, show that athleticism, show the size, everything checks, they get all the boxes that they want checked, you can see some of these 2025 kids, 2026 in-state kids getting early offers from the Buckeyes.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I want to ask you about the 2024 class as well. I mean, the kids that are going to be seniors this year. So far, Ohio State has 13 commits in their 2024 class. They're ranked fourth in the country. They haven't had a commitment in a while. We usually see a few in June. I think we're going to see a few this month. Roughly how many do you expect? And I know you're keeping your eye on Nigel Smith, the second, the defensive lineman out of Texas. Who are some guys you think might commit this month? And roughly how many commitments do you think the Buckeyes might get this month, JB?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see because June last year, Dave, it was a terrible month for the Buckeyes. This year, I think things are going to change because they have the game as far as NIL figured out. So this is going to be an opportunity for them to really close. When it comes to an actual number, I'm hoping to see at least 5. You're looking at Jaden Jackson. He's a potential guy that I can see pop at any given moment now. He's going to be on his official visit. I know there's some high-profile offensive tackles like Brandon Baker's coming. I think that's going to be a long shot. I believe he's going to stay out west. NIL is going to play a big role there. So if you're looking at, you know, which guy, I think Jaden Jackson would be the one will probably commit sooner rather than later. And then you look at a guy like, you know, Reggie Powers, a safety from Ohio. It's questionable if he even has a committable offer. I know Ohio State wants him to camp. That's going to be a guy to watch to say, hey, are you going to go to camp? And Ohio State's going to validate that they made the right decision. If so, he could be someone that potentially pulls the trigger this month if his offer is deemed committable. So that's someone that I'm going to keep an eye on. You look at some of the other guys, Dave, there's a bevy of recruits coming in for these official visits. The thing that you have to look at for Ohio State, some of these high-profile kids, they're going to go through all of their visits, especially with the NCAA now opening it up to say, hey, you can take more than five visits. So I think you're going to see a lot of those national guys take their time, but some of those guys that are like a Jaden Jackson that's not as high profile, I could see him pulling the trigger to Ohio State early.
All right, I want to do a deep dive on the corners. Before we do that, I know you wanted to talk about the EA Sports game. We're all looking forward to finally the college football, EA Sports college football is coming back, but maybe not as fast as we thought because they're going to pay the players a little bit of a delay. Get into that if you would, Jonah.
Oh, my goodness, Dave. Can we please just get the NCAA football back? All of this back and forth about saying, hey, is $500 enough or not enough? I'm out of mind frame, Dave. Put me on the game for free. I was on the game when I played at OU for 2 to 3 years. And not one time did I get a dollar from EA Sports. But you know what, Dave? Once that game came out, everybody was fired up because – you knew that football season was right around the corner. You fired that bad boy up. You had a dynasty going with all your friends. And you're playing a game, and no one cared about was I being paid for my likeness or not. It was the fact that you love building a roster, being a coach of your favorite team or program or building somebody up from scratch. But for me, Dave, just having the fact that my friends back in Portsmouth, Ohio, could play the game with me on it, I thought that was phenomenal. I'd never once thought, hey, I need to be paid a significant amount of money in order to be on this game. Just get the game made, and after 3 to 4 years, all of those players are going to be off the game anyways. If you're in dynasty mode, you're just going to have creative players. But I just want the game to be played, to be built, and have everyone, if you want to get, you know, your $500, opt in, great. If not, opt out. But please do not delay this game any further.
I can hear the angst in your voice there. Like, come on, help my guy out here. Get this game out to us.
It's been 10 years, Dave. Come on, man.
And then they promise us it's coming out. Now it might not come out when even before the season. Hopefully they'll get something done there. All right. As promised, deep dive on the corners. I've been going through some position groups on the show last few days. Time for the corners. I love this group, starting with Denzel Burke. Talk about him a little bit, and if you think he's going to have a big junior year. We've seen it time and time again, junior year. Maybe a corner doesn't look good early in his career, where Burke did look good as a true freshman, struggled last year. This is his money year. I think it's going to come together for him. A lot of mock drafts have him projected as a first-round pick. Curious to get your thoughts. Do you think Igbinosin or Hancock will be the number two corner? Let's start there. Get into Burke, and then who do you think is going to be the number two corner?
You said it best, Dave. It's a money year for him as far as Denzel. I think that he's going to have a bounce back year. The one thing that you have to keep in mind, he was banged up quite a bit during the season. I thought he played a little bit better down the stretch. And I thought it was Cam Brown who was getting picked on a little bit there in the later part of the season. So if you're to take the coach's word, Dave, if you've been there to every single press conference that they had since the spring, they have been raving about his play. They thought that Denzel Burke's competitive nature has really elevated. What I mean by that is when Marvin Harrison Jr. was out there running routes, one-on-ones, it was Denzel Burke who was challenging him up in his face. And from what they're saying, you really didn't see that in the younger Denzel Burke. Now that he's older, realize that, hey, I need to step my game up. The opportunity is there for me to be a potential first-round, second-round corner, that the intensity and the way he's carried himself in the offseason as far as getting stronger, getting bigger, getting tougher, I think that's going to carry over into the season. So I am looking for Burke to have a bounce-back year. And Davison Igbinosin, I think he brings a toughness, a nastiness to the secondary that has been missing. I think he's going to be one of those guys that gets in a wide receiver's face he might be one of those guys that you have to pull him back a little bit because the fire is going to be lit in him. And I think that's what this secondary has been missing, especially at the cornerback position, Dave. You look at the Denzel Ward and the Damon Arnett. Those guys, they were up in your face. They were talking. You got to have a little bit of confidence as a cornerback to be able to get up in the wide receiver's face after you've been beaten. And I think that's what you're going to get from Davison Espinosa. He's going to bring that toughness element. So I do think he's going to be your number two corner. Jordan Hancock, we need to have a big bounce back year, Dave. I would make an argument that Jordan Hancock is probably one of the most important defensive players that's going to be going into the season. And here's the reason why I say that is because Jordan Hancock is your wild card, because if he plays extremely well, with Jim Knowles looking to have more of a nickel corner in the defense instead of a third safety on the field in passing situation, it's critical that he plays at a high level. When you look at the Ohio State defense, the last time that they were really good under Jeff Hafley, what did they have? They had an elite nickel corner, and he was playing at Sean Wade, and he played his best ball as a nickel corner on the inside under Jeff Hafley. And what did that allow? That took away a lot of that inside routes, a lot of that stuff that teams have been picking on Ohio State with lately. So if Jordan Hancock can play at an elite level, that right there is going to help this defense significantly, because I truly believe that in today's passing scheme, Dave, you're looking for a matchup nightmare if you're having a third safety playing in the slot against an athletic wide receiver. We saw it down the stretch against Penn State, against Maryland, against Georgia. When a competent offensive coordinator was able to find the mark, and when that safety had to come down into the box and play like a corner, those were the matchups that was getting exploited. So if Jordan Hancock can play at an elite level at that position, this defense is going to be significantly better. And then you look at Jair Brown. He's a guy that they've talked about. He's played a little bit of a nickel safety because with Jim Knowles defense, it kind of blends together a nickel safety, nickel corner. So they experienced with Jair Brown playing that particular role, playing on the inside. I like Jair. I thought when he was called upon last year, I thought he stepped up. He showed some dog in him. So I think that he's going to continue to build upon that. And then you got Ryan Turner, who's there. And then obviously the extremely talented corners in Jermaine Matthews, Calvin Simpson Hunt, who's going to be coming in, who is already there, who's going to be a little bit behind the eight ball because he came in late. So, yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I am bullish on the corners. I think they're going to be a step up from last year. It starts with Burke. I think Burke is going to have a bounce back year. If he can play at a high level, bringing Davison in, I think he's going to be a dog in that on that secondary. But the key is, can Jordan Hancock stay healthy? And can Jordan Hancock play at an elite level?
Yeah, last year was not good, and it was twofold. They didn't have any depth going into the season. They only had six scholarship corners, and then they were decimated by injuries. Yeah, there was one game where Jair Brown started. The other starting quarter was J.K. Johnson, who's now transferred. Now, I love the top four corners, as you just illustrated. I mean, I love Burke, Igbinosen, Hancock, and Jair Brown. I'll throw them in that top four. And I like the depth, though. I mean, Ryan Turner's a guy we haven't talked about who's going to be a redshirt freshman. Maybe you did mention him, because I know you mentioned Jermaine Matthews, the true freshman. Calvin Simpson Hunt, the true freshman. I like both those guys. Lorenzo Styles Jr. transferring in here. Now, I think he's a depth piece. My point is they have eight scholarship cornerbacks now. They can stay reasonably healthy. They can now withstand an injury or two or three. And I think the top guys are better. Igbinosen wasn't even here last year. I think sophomore Igbinosen this year at Ohio State is going to be an upgrade over fifth-year senior Cam Brown last year. Burke's going to be better than what he was last year. Hancock was hurt last year. Brown was a true freshman last year. He'll be better. Turner's now going to get a chance to play. I'm fired up about this cornerback group.
Well, Dave, I think about this. Last summer, you and I had Twitter spaces going, and that was a topic. That was a hot topic, was the cornerbacks. And I would never forget, you were saying that we had a kicker out there repping with the corners because the depth was so bad last year going into camp that we had a kicker that they had to switch over just because they did not have enough bodies for camp. So that kind of tells you how it's been night and day, the transformation from the cornerback room to where, hey, at a place like Ohio State, it should never, ever get that bad to where you have to throw a kicker in there just to have a warm body. But, yeah, so it's going to be a vastly different room. I would say this, Dave, the eyes are on Tim Walton. He needs to have a bounce back year because the corners, they were bad last year. If you look at the PFF rankings, they did not grade out well at all. None of the corners graded out extremely well. And you're looking at Tim Walton, you're paying him close to $1 million, if not $1 million corner coach coming from the NFL. The expectations at a place like Ohio State, when the cornerback position has been elite for how many years, it's unacceptable for the play that we saw last year. So Tim Walton, earn that $1 million, baby. Let's go, because it's time for you to have those guys playing at the traditional level that we've been expecting from that cornerback position over the last several years.
You read my mind. I was going to ask you for your thoughts on Tim Walton, and you nailed it. So let's move on to let's close the show with this. We have a question from Chad on YouTube. He says, I know you guys are discussing the corners, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on Tavian St. Clair. 2025 quarterback Tavian St. Clair from Belle Fountain, Ohio. What do you think, JB?
He's an absolute stud, Dave. I mean, what can you say about the kid? He's right now probably – he's not the top player in Ohio, but I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be the top player in Ohio. When Alabama comes up to Ohio and offers a 2025 quarterback, you know he's an absolute stud. Right now he's doing his Southern swing. He's going to go visit a lot of the schools in the South, in the SEC. But I think he's going to be one of those premier quarterbacks, depending on how his game, how he does in camp season, and depending on how he does coming up in his regular season. He has the potential to be a five-star quarterback. I think it's imperative that Ohio State keeps him in state. I do believe that when all of the rankings does settle, he's going to be ahead of Montgomery as far as the in-state quarterbacks as well as the national quarterbacks. But, yeah, you're talking about a prime-time guy. When you look at him, Dave, he's the future at the quarterback position in the state of Ohio. So, right now, you look at Ohio State quarterback, they're pumping them into the first round. So, you have to feel good about Ohio State's chances here. They recognize him. They were in on him very early as well. Of course, his offer list is going to absolutely explode when you have Ohio State and Alabama on your list. Everybody in the country is now going to be offering. So as soon as that happens, his recruiting rankings are going to go through the roof. But right now, Ohio State's probably sitting in a great position, but you just got to make sure that you keep him in state. You can't take anything for granted.
Belle Fountain's somewhat of a small high school, too. It's not, like, super small, but it's certainly not D1. I think they're, like, D3. I think last time the Buckeyes recruited a D3 quarterback was Joe Burrow. He turned out pretty good. But even though Burrow was Mr. Football and all that, he was just – I think he eventually was a four-star. But I think he was a three-star when Ohio State first offered him. I mean, Tavian's already a four-star, and, yeah, I think his rankings, you mentioned, is just going to go up.
I love his size.
I love his size, too, and his athletic ability and his arm. I wonder if he'll stay at Belle Fountain. I guess if you're getting all these offers, why not just stay at Belle Fountain? People are probably get mad at me for even saying that.
I will say this. Please just do not do a Dylan Raiola and transfer to 3 or 4 different high schools. Like St. Clair right now, and I know, as you mentioned, is not a big school, but there's something to be said about staying in your local community, being the guy, helping your high school program get on the map, even though it's not the biggest high school. But I think it's something, noble about a kid who, even though, those coaches in that system, they helped develop him, Dave. I feel a certain in my stomach. I believe that if those coaches help develop you, I think it is your responsibility as a quarterback to help that program take that next step. I just do not like how Dylan Raiola has bounced from school to school to school to school when those coaches have put in hours. Those kids have put in hours throwing with you in the offseason, helping you in the weight room, helping you get to that next step. In the moment that you blow up, you decide to leave. I just don't feel like that's right. And I hope this kid stays with them. And I hope he becomes a Buckeye, because he's going to be a top 5, top 6 quarterback when it's all said and done.
Yeah, stay at Bell Fountain, young man. I don't need everybody in Bell Fountain coming after me. maybe he should transfer to a bigger school. He doesn't need to. He's got Ohio State, Alabama. All he needs is the Ohio State offer, though, right?
Yeah. Great
stuff from Jonah Booker, as always. Appreciate it, Jay Book. Coming strong, as always. This time on a Thursday. Is this the first time we've done a show on a Thursday together? Probably. Dan Rubin is on vacation for a week, for those that are wondering. So I'm filling in. I'm doing all the shows. Great stuff from Jonah Booker. Appreciate it, Jay Book. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. We appreciate it very much. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.